Hey, welcome to Netzpolitik TV. Our guest today is Glenn Greenwald, who I do not have to introduce. So, welcome to Germany, Glenn. We're in a country that is a top surveillance target, as we have known from your work. Actually, Germany is the most surveilled country in the European Union, as we've learned from boundless informant slides. And even without Merkel phone, the NSA is extraditing about 60 million metadata on a given day. But politics seem to be doing nothing, German politics. We have a little parliamentary investigative committee, but that's not the government, that's parliament. And actually, Merkel has been in the US 2 weeks ago. She didn't really say anything. Our Minister of Interior has just been to Washington, and he actually said, quote, the German-US relationships are more important than the NSA topic. What's your response to that?
I think that's pretty accurate in terms of expressing the view of the German government, which is that the U.S. and German governments have all sorts of important ties economically, diplomatically, trade, even militarily. And I think European leaders' history in general has been one of extreme subservience to the United States, trying to preserve good relationships with the United States at all costs, even the cost of their national sovereignty and their dignity. So the revelations that the U.S. government is prying into the personal communications of tens of millions of Germans, and including targeting the personal communications of the German chancellor herself, should spark genuine outrage of the type that in Brazil, for example, we saw, where the Brazilian president canceled the state dinner with the U.S. and denounced the U.S. vehemently from the U.N. It has genuinely damaged relationships between those two countries. That's because Brazil is really intent on establishing that they are a independent sovereign country that has national dignity. That doesn't seem to be a priority for the German government.
Actually, on a trip, the German Minister of Interior announced new surveillance capabilities of the BND, the German Secret Service, and new data sharing plans with the NSA. Do you see a danger that some services out there take the revelations and kind of take them as a blueprint for what they want to do themselves?
No, sure, it takes them as a blueprint because we have been careful not to publish things that will enable other states to improve their surveillance capabilities. That has been one of the conflicts we've had, is how do you disclose information that helps people defend against surveillance without helping other states improve their surveillance? And we've kind of had a struggle on that question. But I think what it really has done is in some sense normalize the idea that states are engaged in this kind of invasive electronic surveillance, and that may actually end up helping other countries that want to do it be able to do it more easily, that it's not quite so shocking to people that it's being done now that we know how much the NSA is doing it.
It's been almost a year since the first reports on, I think, the wireless carrier stories, and then Snowden's going public. We do feel like there's a decline in public interest, and also some media are already telling us that people are not interested as much anymore. Do you see a danger like that, and what can we do against it?
Yeah, I mean, of course, we've been aware from the very beginning about the need to engage the public and keep public interest high. But, you know, this is how things always play out. I remember in the WikiLeaks story, a week after the disclosures, the U.S. media and U.S. government and all their various defenders announced immediately that nobody cared, that the disclosures were meaningless. This is, you know, a way of, I mean, encouraging public indifference is a very significant tool that these governments use. The reality is that all over the world, the debate on these questions and the interest in these issues is higher than they've ever been. There are reform movements, there's legislation, and it has changed the way people think all over the world. So, of course, those who are happy with the status quo want to insist that this has changed nothing and to declare that people no longer care. But there's so much evidence in terms of polling data and just the way politicians are responding, the fear that tech companies have. I think that you're going to see privacy play a lot more important role in the competition for these customers and for users of the internet. I think there's all different ways that changes are happening, and the least important way is what, you know, politicians in the various national capitals decide to do in terms of enacting legislation.
Now, you started out as a blogger. We started at Netzpolitik.org. Do you have any advice on how critical, independent, or as you call it, adversarial journalism can be financed if you don't happen to have a billionaire backer?
Well, I mean, I think that you can do, you know, I mean, I've only had a media outlet that had the backing of Piero Mediar for 8 months, and I've been finding a way to write independently for 9 years. I mean, one of the ways that I did it at first was by reader support by convincing enough people that the journalism you're doing is unique and important and needs to be supported. And I was able to make a living overwhelmingly by relying on the donations each year of my readers. So crowdsourcing funding is an important way to do it, although it is limited. It can let you earn a living, but not do much else in terms